There'll be a lot of reaction this morning to this cell phone ban in Ontario schools. The new rules were laid out yesterday by Stephen Lecce. Again, I'm hearing from teachers constantly about this scenario, documenting that how do we protect the kids' personal property? How does a single administration school manage this? What's the safe way to store phones? These are all valid questions. But again, I was disappointed by the NDP response because they didn't say anything about the policy. Do you like aspects of it? What would you be critical of? They're just like, well, but what about the teacher shortage and what about funding? And I'm like, all these are valid issues. But if you're the NDP education critic, you waited all you waited the entire run knowing that the province was going to come up with a policy. Come out with your policy first. And I don't think this is, by the way, I won't just pin this all on the Ontario NDP. Opposition parties, I don't expect them to show their whole platform prior to an election. I think those are unfair criticisms. It'd be just as unfair to criticize the Ontario NDP for not doing that as it would the Federal Conservative Party of Canada. Why would they show their cards? They're just reacting right now to what the government's doing. But we didn't even get that yesterday. What don't you like about Lecce's policy? What do you like about Lecce's policy? Do you agree that cell phones are a problem? We just have to figure out the practicality of dumping them. So there's all of that and more. We're going to get into some of that with Noka DeKrube next. I did want you to hear, and I want her to be able to hear it as well, this story out of the Halton District School Board, where there's a guidance counselor. And this does show up. You don't hear it, but I think she acknowledges that the words were used, and it's no good. This is a problem. The question is, what led to it, and what do we do now with this guidance counselor who's apparently been sent home, won't be at the school today in Oakville at Iroquois Ridge High School. But here's some of the exchange between her and a student. She told a student wearing a keffiyeh that it, quote, reminds her of a terrorist. So you can imagine, and I don't think this is a gotcha moment with the students setting the guidance counselor up. I think the students got a valid point here. Listen to this exchange.
So I'm not a terrorist and you don't treat me like a terrorist, but I look like one.
That reminds me of.
Oh. So I don't usually look like one, but when I put this on.
That reminds me of.
Oh, okay. All right, perfect.
It does.
Okay, but I just want to talk to the rest of the school because, like, me personally, I feel offended.
Okay, he's allowed to feel that way. And by the way, these discussions, what you wear to school, that's got to be a home thing. And I would never use that language in the home myself to my own kids. But it's up to you as a parent to, you know, massage, police what your kid, what your boy, what your girl might wear to school. It's not up to a guidance counselor. If there's a dress code and they're violating it, we have a different argument here, don't we? But that's not what this is. So it's problematic language. There isn't any doubt about it to me. Noka DeKrube's a former Peel District School Board trustee and joins us now on Toronto Today. You may know of the story. I lay that clip out for you. It's problematic. It's just a question of what we do with the guidance counselor now, I suppose.
Good morning, Greg. Yes, absolutely. It's problematic. It really speaks to the level of ignorance that we're dealing with when it comes to Arab culture, when it comes to the sensitivities around what's going on right now in the Middle East. And it's really unfortunate to see because no child, I mean, a student, yeah, sure, he's in high school, he's seven, but they're kids. No child should ever have to listen to that from a trusted adult, ever. And there needs to be repercussions for this guidance counselor. I think it's unfortunate, but these things happen in schools, and I've heard a lot of stories, and the consequences are usually not enough.
And I know the concept isn't, as you know from your school board experience, what parents worry about and what good teachers worry about is, they'll just solve this problem and put this woman in another school. And that said, should she never work in education again? I don't know that. I'd like to think we can still have teachable moments, but the language bothered me as much as it bothered you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, there has to be a standard where, you know, once that line is crossed, there wouldn't be opportunities to work with children again, right? We have to protect our kids. That's the most important thing. We have to protect their mental health. We have to protect their self-esteem. We have to protect their self-confidence. We have to protect their sense of identity and their sense of belonging. Those are really, really important things, Greg. We can't, you know, school isn't just about math and science. It's about helping children shape a personality and who they are, and who, that's who are they're walking into the world with, right? This is very damaging and very harmful. And so there are times when teachable moments are appropriate, but at a time when you're telling a kid that they remind you of a terrorist, I think she's crossed the line way too far.
So what's proper punishment?
I would say this is kind of something that would actually be reported to the College of Teachers,
mm-hmm.
and there would be discipline from there, as well as potentially, in my opinion, I don't think she should return to education. But this is something that's reportable. Mm-hmm. Now, my big question is, when did the administration find out about this? Because there were adults in the room, and there was a lot of kids in that room, and kids talk.
Yeah.
So when did they know about this? What have they done so far?
Yeah, she's barely on leave today at home. This incident happened Friday. So there might have been some machinations happening by Friday afternoon. I found out she'd be at home. I only saw the video yesterday morning, but I'm sure, like you said, principals, VPs, and people at the board level at the Halton board would have known about it Friday afternoon. They would have known with it within hours of it happening.
Probably the same, because it was such a kerfuffle, right? Like there was a bunch of people talking and standing and like talking about it.
Mm.
And that's the unfortunate part, that things don't happen in education until they become public, until it becomes an embarrassment. And even then, what I've seen often is a teacher would be placed on administrative leave and then slowly return to the same school. And that's something that Lecce needs to really, really crack down on.
Now, it was documented by some, Noka, that the idea of cell phones being present, although this didn't look like it was during class time, actually provided evidence for this incident, instead of being the adult says they didn't do it and the kid says they did. We know that ends up being a bit of a slippery slope. I want to know what you think of the policy. And like, we are arming teachers and administrators with a little more teeth regarding these cell phones. I think teachers deserve to know a lot more about the practicality of what happens when they confiscate a cell phone and when they can. That's all.
So I actually feel really bad for Stephen Lecce when it comes to the cell phone ban issue, because he's stuck in a situation where he's having to do the job of the school boards. These are issues that should be dealt with at school boards. These are things that school boards have policies for, and they've had policies for forever. The problem is parents are complaining and they're not happy. Mm-hmm. And not enough is being done at school, so he's having to take this on. Problem he's going to face is that his policy is going to be popular now, but once you start suspending kids for little things like checking the time on their phone in a classroom, guess who's going to get very mad? Parents.
Yeah. Yeah,
parents don't like it when their kids get suspended.
Well, many of them don't like the idea of being not having that lifeline to them already and reminding them they have a dent. But I'm sorry, we all made it. We all found a way for our parents not to be in constant contact with us throughout elementary school, high school, university. I'd say that.
Yeah, and I think that's bit of a lesser issue, but I think the biggest issue is once you start suspending kids over that, or a phone gets confiscated and it gets lost, then you're going to have a lot of problems and a lot of people who are going to be very angry.
Let's chat about it again. I'm up against the clock. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Greg.
Noka DeKrube joining us on Toronto Today.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.